right. Well, thank you again for joining with us today. And I want to thank Jordan and his group again for helping us with worship, and just so thankful for their talents and their abilities and their willingness to help us out in this way. So we're thankful for that. Well, today is the second message in our series called I Am. Now, if you didn't join in with us last Sunday and maybe you're just tuning in, let me take a moment to catch you up on what's going on and what we're doing. Last week, we started a sermon series called I Am. And it's a series that's based on the I Am statements of Jesus that we find in the Gospel of John. Last week's message, we talked about Jesus being the bread of life when he said, I am the bread of life. Now, today's message deals with Jesus and his statement that I am the light of the world. So we're going to look at that and stop and think about what it means for a few minutes for Jesus to say, I am the light of the world. Now, once again, before we get any further, I just want to remind us of two important things that we need to keep in mind as we go all through this series. Number one is this: what is Jesus doing in each of these statements? And as a reminder, I told you last week, he is not describing himself. He is identifying or defining himself. I am is the name for Yahweh or God. So with each statement, Jesus is actually identifying himself as God. So we need to always keep that in mind when we hear Jesus use the words, I am. And the second question is this: why is Jesus making these statements? Each metaphor he uses speaks of his saving purpose. And his mission is to seek and save the lost. And each of these statements has a salvation element and application behind it that we need to keep in mind as we go along. So with that in mind, I want to get into the scripture, and we're going to read the scripture today. And the I am statement for today is found in John chapter 8, verse 12. And here's what it says. Now, Jesus spoke to the people again, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So, Father, this is your word. And once again, we just ask you to bless it and use it for your purpose and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, that's a great statement by Jesus, but it becomes even more important when we look at some added context. And if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn back just a few chapters to John chapter 1. It sets the stage for all of this, so we're going to begin reading there with verse 1 in John chapter 1. And here's what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word. And without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life. And the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish the light. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light, but the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified about him, crying out, "This is the one of whom I said, he who comes after me is greater than me because he existed before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And as the law was given through Moses, so grace and truth came into being through Jesus Christ. no one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made God known. So, this John chapter 1 and the introduction to the Gospel of John talks a lot about the Word or Jesus, the Word being with God and the Word being God, and the fact that the Word or Jesus was the light that came into the world. So I want us to think about what light really means. Why is it important, and what lessons can we learn from it? Well, here's the first thing I want us to understand. Light in general is very important, and God must have thought so too, because it's the first thing that we have record of Him creating. If you go all the way back into Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, we find this. It's talking about light and the importance of it. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So I think light's pretty important. If it's the first thing that God takes the time to create in the creation story, we understand how important and how vital light really is. So I want us to look at some lessons we can understand about light, and specifically the light that Jesus came to provide. I'll start with the scripture that we just quoted from Genesis. What better place to start than in the beginning? And I'm borrowing this first idea from William Barclay's commentary on the Gospel of John. And he says this. He says, "The light that Jesus gives is light which puts chaos to flight." Light which puts chaos to flight. Now, what does that mean? Why would he say that? Well, he says that because in the beginning was darkness. There was not order or design. And anytime we find ourselves in a situation where there's no order and no design, we have chaos. Barclay has some very good insight here, and I just want to read to you some of what he says. So listen closely to what he writes. He says, "In the creation story, God moved upon the dark and formless chaos which was before the world began and said, 'Let there be light.' This new created light of God routed the empty chaos into which it came. So Jesus is the light which shines in the darkness. He is the one person who can save life from becoming a chaos, because left to ourselves, we are at the mercy of our passions and our fears." End quote. Isn't that the truth? Look around us. In the midst of this pandemic and all of the uncertainty, we can truly find ourselves in the state of chaos if we're not careful. But we don't have to let chaos rule or control us. Barclay goes on to say that when Jesus dawns upon life, light comes. Listen, I've talked and prayed with and for a lot of people lately in these past few weeks since this whole pandemic has set in, and I've talked with them and I've prayed with them, and countless times I've heard this statement or something similar to it. "I just don't know what to do." Their lives have been thrown into chaos. Our lives have been thrown into uncertainty. And the most important thing we can do in times of chaos, in times of uncertainty, is to look to Jesus and let His light scatter our darkness. To let His light scatter the darkness. If we want to find certainty in the time of uncertainty, we need to look to Jesus, who is the light of the world. If we want to find a way out of our darkness, we need to look to Jesus, who is the light of the world. So it's light that puts chaos to flight. And there's something else important that I want us to think about. This light that Jesus brings is the fact that it's revealing light. It's revealing light. You see, if we walk into a building or a room that is dark, what's the first thing we do? What's one of the first things we do? One of the first things I'm going to do if I walk into a building or a room that is completely dark is I'm going to find the closest light switch and I'm going to turn the light switch on. Now, why do I want to do that? because I want to be able to see what's in the room. I want to be able to see where the furniture is. I want to be able to see where the walls are. I want to see where the doorways are. I want to be able to see where I'm going and what's all around me. Because, see, to stumble around and wander around in darkness means inevitably I'm going to trip over something, or I'm going to kick something and stub my toe, or I'm going to run into a wall, especially if it's a room or a building that I'm not familiar with. So the first thing I'm going to do when I go into a dark room or a dark building is I'm going to find the light and I'm going to turn it on so that I can see. It reveals to me what's in the room. It reveals what is around me. If I get in my car and I'm driving somewhere and it's dark outside, I'm going to turn the lights on. Now, a lot of our cars have automatic lights these days. We don't even have to worry about turning them on. But if I'm in a vehicle, I'm going to make sure if it's dark and I'm driving during the nighttime, I'm going to turn my headlights on so I can see better. It can show me what's ahead. I want to be able to see the road signs. I want to be able to see if there's something in the road, if there's an animal that crosses the road or comes out of the ditch, if there's a curve in the road or some type of an obstacle. I want to be able to see that. So I turn my lights on because my lights reveal what's in front of me and what's around me. No need to wander around in the darkness when there's light readily available to us. And see, it's not just physical. As we talked about last week with Jesus being the bread of life, there's physical food and spiritual food. It's the same way today. Light is both physical and spiritual. You see, because light can reveal something else to me as well. Spiritual light reveals what's inside of us. Physical light reveals what's around us, what's in front of us, what's behind us. But spiritual light, the light of Jesus, reveals what's inside of me. And this truth can cause us to do one of two things. When the light reveals what's inside of us, it can cause us to do one of two things. And here's why. I want you to listen to the words of John chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. It says here, there is no judgment awaiting those who trust him, but those who do not trust him have already been judged for not believing in the only Son of God. Their judgment is based on this fact. The light from heaven came into the world, but they loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. They hate the light because they want to sin in the darkness. They stay away from the light for fear that their sins will be exposed and they will be punished. But those who do what is right come to the light gladly so everyone can see that they are doing what God wants. Darkness versus light. Once again, in the words of William Barclay, he says this, "The light that Jesus brings is something which shows things as they are. It strips away the disguises and concealments. It shows things in all of their nakedness. It shows them in their true character and in their true values." You see, when light is shown on something, we can't help but see it unless our eyes are closed and we choose not to see it. So this light basically causes us to either continue to try and hide, causes us to continue to live in the shadows, hoping that we won't be found out, hoping that no one will see what really is inside of us. Or it causes us to step into the light because we have nothing to hide, or we have nothing to be ashamed of. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 tells us that we are the light of the world, and that we are supposed to let our light shine so that others will see our good works and glorify our Heavenly Father. What about us? Are we living in the light, or are we hiding in the darkness? Another truth or idea about this light that Jesus brings is the fact that it's a guiding light. A guiding light. It's a light that gives us direction. And I thought of just a couple of things that I want to share with you, a couple of instances in the Bible where we see light guiding people and giving them direction. When Moses was leading the Israelites out of bondage from Egypt, And once they started their journey through the wilderness, it says they were led by a cloud during the day, but by a pillar of fire by night. That fire gave them the light that they needed in order to guide them along their way. Another instance that I thought of was when the Magi made their long journey to Bethlehem to find Jesus after he was born. How did they get there? How did they know where to find Jesus? What guided them along their journey? It was the star in the sky. And they followed the light of that star until it rested over the house where Jesus was. You see, light gives us guidance and shows us which way to go. You see, if we don't know Jesus, the light of the world, then we're walking in darkness. And John chapter 12, verse 35 tells us that anyone who walks in darkness doesn't know where they are going. And that verse goes on to tell us to walk while we have the light. Walking in the light instead of darkness makes all the difference in the world. See, 1 John chapter 6, or chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, excuse me. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 say this: if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Knowing Jesus makes all the difference. His light is the guiding light. When Jesus comes into life, the time of guessing and of groping is ended, and the time of doubt and uncertainty and vacillation is gone. In the words, once again, of William Barclay in his commentary on this gospel. When Jesus comes into life, the time of guessing and of groping is ended, and the time of doubt and uncertainty and vacillation is gone. I'm reminded of a time when I was in high school. And we were in revival service at my home church. And the gentleman who came to preach revival was a college student. His name was Denzel Ball. Over the years, Denzel and I became very good friends. He became a mentor in ministry for me. And just 3 years ago this week, we lost him as the result of a car accident that he was in. But I remember one service of that revival. I didn't know exactly why, but I felt led to go to the altar. And when I got to the altar, Denzel came to me and he knelt across from me at the altar. And he said, "Brother Francis, what are you praying about tonight?" And I said, "I don't really know. I don't really know. I just felt like I needed to come pray." And he said something that challenged me and changed my outlook. He said, "Francis, we don't come to the altar out of blindness. We don't come to the altar out of blindness, but the Spirit is faithful to show us and guide us and direct us in how we need to pray and what we need to pray for." So he said, "Seek that guidance. The light is a guiding light." And finally, the light that Jesus gives always overpowers darkness. The light that Jesus gives always overpowers the darkness. For in John chapter 1, verse 5, once again, I want to remind us, it says, "The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it," according to the New Living Translation. See, it can be the darkest part of the night. It can be so dark that you can't see the hand in front of your face. But the slightest amount of light drives away the darkness. Whether it's a match, a flashlight, or a blazing fire, the light will always overcome the darkness. You see, Jesus, the light of the world, can overcome any darkness that we may have in our lives. The light that Jesus gives, Jesus, the light of the world, will always overcome the darkness. And you see, our job, our calling, is to recognize Jesus as the light of the world. We are called to receive and accept his light. That scripture we read earlier in John chapter 1 said his own, he came to his own and his own didn't receive him. They did not accept the truth that he was the light of the world. But that's our calling, to recognize Jesus as the light of the world, and our calling is to receive and accept his light. And then we, like John the Baptist, are called to be witnesses of that light and to point others to Jesus, who is the light of the world. To receive and accept his light changes our lives. And once that is accomplished, then we are called to be witnesses of that light and point others to that same light, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." My question for us today is a very simple one. Are we walking in darkness today, or are we walking in the light that Jesus, the light of the world, brings to us? Heavenly Father, today I just ask you once again to bless your word, bless the message that has gone forth. I ask that you would challenge our hearts and our spirits. I ask that you would help us to seek after you, to seek you with all of our hearts. Help us to look to the light that you give and to the light that you bring to guide us and direct us and restore order in our lives and give us direction. And I want to thank you today for the truth that your light always overcomes the darkness. So help us today, help us this week to walk in the light that you give so that we can lead others to the light of Jesus. We love you and we thank you and we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.